I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Guy Podjarny, founder, president, and chairman of the board at Sneak, the developer security company. Visit sneak.io to learn more. That's SNYK.io. Evolution Equity TV is brought to you by Evolution Equity Partners, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. To learn more about Evolution Equity Partners, visit evolutionequity.com. Guy, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So Guy, we have to start with the name Sneak, S-N-Y-K. Love the name. I mean, it's just, you know, great buzz. I think it does an awful lot for your company. I don't know if you're aware of how much it does, but, you know, tell us where it came from. Is that you? Was it somebody else?
So it was me. The original idea for Sneak was that we will kind of instrument an application and we will sneak data out, but we'll spell it with Y like the cool kids do. And then I Googled that and to see if there's like contention. And the top result that I got was the Urban Dictionary saying it's short for So Now You Know. So that clinched it. So it became Sneak. And actually, fun fact, for a good while, it was the second top support call. How do I pronounce the company name? There was a fair bit of like trolling and such happening within the team that drove it. But the right pronunciation is Sneak, like sneaking out per the origin of the word.
Well, I'll tell you, your company does an unbelievable job with branding. You know, I don't know if that's by design or by accident. You know, you ask around, people call you the developer security company. And I don't think there's a lot of companies where other people know what they do, especially in cybersecurity. It's, you know, a really difficult industry to brand around. But tell us, you know, exactly what that means and how does it set Sneak aside from other cybersecurity companies?
So Sneak's kind of core existence revolves indeed around this developer security. And it's on the belief that in the era of DevOps and kind of fast and continuous development, you simply cannot secure software from the outside. And fundamentally, the only way to keep up with the pace of software change and to actually keep that software secure is to get developers actually building secure software. It's to sort of move the security to be where the decision is made, which oftentimes is in code as the developers write it. And our kind of light bulb moment, right, or our kind of a differentiated approach to it is to believe that if you want to get developers to embrace security, you have to build a developer tooling company, not a security company. And so we built a company that kind of walks and talks and quacks like a dev tooling company that feels to developers at home amidst their other developer tools, that thinks about the security problems we tackle from the lens of, if I'm a developer and I want to build secure software, what do I need to be successful? How do I need to find the tool? How do I need to get used, like start using it? How do I need to sort of see the information contextualized for me? And so that's kind of the core ethos of the company and is really the DNA of what we build and I think what sets us apart. And over time, we've sort of evolved that across different aspects of the application and what it covers as basically more and more responsibility moves to the developers, more and more becomes as code, whatever start as code. And so we've expanded kind of across different types of threats that we tackle.
Sneak's in use now by millions of developers. I mean, you've got a great story. There's so much to talk about, but you know, what our audience often wants to hear, Guy, is the backstory. You know, where did the company come from? How did it start up? You know, talk, you know, a little bit about the early days. You know, can you give that to us? Because our audience would love to know more about where Sneak came from.
So with that sort of lens of like Sneak needs to be a developer tooling company that tackles security, we modeled after the dev tooling companies of the world at the time, the New Relic and Heroku. And so we built kind of a freemium-based, self-serve, easy-to-use product that developers can just pick up. We focused on developers and went to developer events and such. We didn't really talk to security people more than we had to. And we successfully got developers using the freemium products. I mean, fairly quickly, you know, we shipped a little kind of crummy little beta, you know, very, very early on to the company's history. And we've evolved it with users and we got hundreds, then thousands, then tens of thousands of developers using the product and nobody paying. And nobody would actually sort of purchase the product. And a good like 2 years into the company, we were at 100,000 annual recurring revenue. And not for lack of trying, you know, it's just because we couldn't quite kind of crack that nut. And it took some further iterations and trials to to sort of be able to find that balance of, on one hand, building that developer-first solution that developers would love and embrace, and on the other hand, satisfying the breadth, the kind of governance needs, the security controls that the security teams required to actually end up sort of satisfying both parties. It probably took us about 2.5 years to sort of get to that point, you know, until that the Snyk's kind of existence, future existence, was at times at question in question, and probably that was roughly the time that we found that balance, and that developer adoption kind of tailwind really drove up our success. So we 7x revenue the subsequent year, and we 4x revenue the year after that, and it went on for the races.
So I have to take you back a little bit further, though. Are you the original founder of the company?
Okay, so let me go further back. So Snyk is really the culmination of my two journeys. And so my kind of first decade maybe in the industry was in the application security space, building AppScan and AppShield, the first application security solutions out there. And even back then we said shift left. I was saying that back in 2002, understanding that the earlier you find a problem, the more cost-effective it is to actually fix it, and always wanting that. All the way that AppScan got acquired, or Sanctum that built AppScan got acquired by WatchFire, that got acquired by IBM, and it was IBM Rational, the dev tooling division, that acquired WatchFire with this desire. And then I left security, and I founded a web performance startup that got acquired by Akamai. And through that time, I was kind of a part of the first wave of DevOps. Was a part of the programming committee of Velocity, and really kind of where the seminal or initial presentations of DevOps came to be. And to a large degree, you know, that was a great journey on its own. To a large degree, Snyk is really around bringing those two worlds together. It's around taking the desire and the aspiration that we had in security around getting developers to write secure code, and combining that with the learnings from the world of DevOps, of how to actually get that done, how to actually build a solution and a company that developers would embrace, and maybe the appreciation that in the DevOps era, nothing else would really work. To me, it's a continuation. Snyk was founded as this sort of two-headed monster between Tel Aviv and London, which, you know, I had my roots in the cyber kind of parts of the Israeli army in Israel, and I had some great network there of super talented security people that can, you know, get anything done and break through walls, including my two co-founders, Danny Grander and Asaf Hefetz, and my network in the UK, which had a lot more understanding of developer experience, community building, developer tools, and product methodology. And the combination of those two communities, those two ecosystems, really makes up what Snyk is today, which, you know, we've since expanded into many other locations, but that remains the core.
Well, I appreciate you letting me tease that out, because I want to talk a little bit about venture capital. And, you know, we talk to a lot of VCs, and they tell us they're investing into people as much as they're investing into platforms and companies. So, you know, it's great to hear a little bit more about your background. If anyone was going to teach a course on raising cybersecurity, I think, you know, you could be nominated. If I'm not mistaken, your company has raised about $500 million in the past 2 years. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
So how important has that been to the company? And even, you know, your initial raises, are those key milestones for you to bring Snyk where it is today?
If I was to sort of roughly outline the sort of the venture journey, you know, the first round was relatively easy for me, having it be the sort of the second startup that I had and a big idea of in a big market. And so I had Bold Start back that first round, or lead that first round. And it was relatively easy based on trust and relationships and kind of conviction of my ability. Then from there was, you know, 2+ years of drought, where really Bold Start was maybe the only kind of remaining believers, because while we managed to get developers to embrace the product, we couldn't monetize. And a lot of people kind of put us into that bucket of the classic developer tools pitfall of developers love it, but nobody's actually willing to pay. And it was only, I think, almost 3 years actually after that first round, during which we've done top-ups that we had our first sort of Series A from Accel. And the next two rounds were really about establishing the go-to-market, making it sort of scale and work, and learning these muscles that were outside of the core product and distribution, and dealing with just this kind of great growth. Subsequently, the last few rounds, they very much have been around bringing this message to the world. And so I think by that time, we have demonstrated that developers will embrace security if you build the right solutions for them. And the last few rounds were great at actually bringing that into established enterprises, which are struggling with DevOps, and they're kind of mature on the security side, but they're still learning the ropes when it comes to DevOps, into regions that are not there or we weren't as present in, and expanding the same approach, the same philosophy of this developer-centric security program to other threat areas, including cloud security, including supply chain security in a more broader sense, and into sort of static analysis of your code itself. And so I think every fundraising round is really an all or nothing type bet on your company. Every time you have to say, okay, do I have the conviction that I will return a large multiple for my investors on this valuation that we've now pegged? And it's a good way to reaffirm our conviction, which we have every time, that at the end of the day, this multiplier of developer reach and sort of security value or security spend is one that can get pretty big.
Things change though, right? I mean, Snyk's hot. The VC space is very competitive. They want to get in on the hottest companies. You're definitely one of them. So what is it like when you mature, when you start, you know, raising those larger rounds and you're, I assume, you know, choosing from companies and talking to a lot of different VCs, you know, how do you vet them and, you know, how important is it to pick the right companies?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good question, and it's there is no sort of single answer. And you know, I like to say that, you know, I like VCs like to have a portfolio of companies, and I like to have a portfolio of investors that each bring, you know, different sort of skills and different way to them. Some of those might be around kind of crossover investors that, you know, will sort of hold the shares and sort of become your partners well past the sort of IPO milestone. Others are really around core competencies in the areas that you've expanded to. So Evolution Equity, who is, you know, a great investor that joined us in the last round, they, for instance, are amazing at their sort of EMEA CISO network and their ability to sort of expand and broaden the message that we've been sort of touting into the European audience, which historically has been a bit more conservative and a little bit, you know, slower to adopt some of these newer technologies. And we sort of seek out these specific competencies. We had some sort of APJ related focus areas as well, and look for people that are looking to start the journey now, not just sort of capitalize on the last mile, and that bring the expertise and the network that we need at that sort of relevant stage.
So you have an amazing message for the developer community. You just mentioned CISOs. We have a lot of CISOs who tune into us, especially Fortune 500, Global 2000. What message do you have for them in particular, if anything, around Snyk, around developer security, and anything you'd like to say about, you know, what they can expect from you later this year, next year, and where Snyk's going?
I think the two primary messages that that CISOs, you know, maybe should sort of consider. One is on developer security, that it is a losing battle to think that you can secure software from the outside. And at the end of the day, we're here to keep the business secure. And if you don't let the business thrive, if you don't let the sort of the speed run, then you'll be secure all the way to bankruptcy. And so I think CISOs experience that they want the speed of the business, but it is messy. It is built on independent teams. And they need to get into the mindset, which many of them are, of switching from being the auditor, being, you know, having their teams be the ones sort of inspecting and scrutinizing everything, to being a platform builder that enables developers and relevant key users on the platform to build secure software. And I think that is super powerful and will basically help security teams evolve as the ops world has, you know, to become business enablers, to become the drivers of top line revenue. And then maybe a bit more focused is we are investing a ton in supply chain security. I think this is a buzzword that everybody hears. It's basically what we've done from day one. Snyk's open source is really a supply chain security solution. But I think today we work with a lot of CISOs to be the trusted partner in understanding, you know, the messy space that is supply chain security or software supply chain security, understanding what should you do, what is an SBOM, a software bill of material, you know, what should you communicate to users, what's an effective way of tracking this problem across your applications, across the stages, across the organization. We have a lot of solutions for it, but we also have a lot of great partners that we work together. And so I would say if you're a CISO that is worried about software supply chain security, come talk to us. We'll, you know, we aim to be helpful, and we'll guide you, again, in part with our solutions, but in part with just sort of the mileage and the learnings that we've had in this space.
Do you think CISOs are more receptive now? You know, you go back maybe to 2020, the SolarWinds hack and the number of companies, I think it was, you know, more than 100, you know, who were affected. And you know, I don't think we have to tell our audience, you know, what the aftermath of that was like. But are they more receptive now, Guy?
So for sure, I think on the developer security side, I think the real evolution has been in believing that it is possible. It was always received as something that, yeah, I wish developers would sort of write secure code, but it was often accompanied with, but they don't care about security, they'll never do it. And I think that last part is dropping more and more, and the conversations have switched to becoming a lot more practical. How do I build a program that actually operates successfully? Which is, I think, a much healthier conversation. Supply chain security absolutely is more top of mind for people. You know, nothing like a couple of big breaches to bring it to the top. But then I also think supply chain security is a place where, like it or not, you have to keep it in mind at the moment, because there's increasing legislation and compliance requirements that really drive, you know, the US federal government is the sort of the top driver for it, but really across the board require you to get a handle of it. At the end of the day, supply chain security is really the meta name for the fact that we now build applications in a modular fashion, that we have a lot of independently moving components, whether they are open source or home built or whatever it is. And this is the reality that allows us to kind of build technology faster. The more accepting the CISO is of this reality and not thinking that they can actually hold it back because of, you know, security concerns, the more they embrace the need for supply chain security solutions. But whether external motivation or the sort of internal perspective, there's definitely a lot more acceptance and a lot more urgency around dealing with this problem.
So last question, Guy, before we let you go, I want to ask you about young programmers, developers, talking about students and universities and colleges here in the US, globally, people who are young in their careers. Is there more of an awareness? I hope there is around security and education around it as well.
I think there is more, but still insufficient awareness to security. While we sort of see a lot of dedicated cybersecurity programs that, you know, a lot of them have been born out of the talent shortage that we see in the cybersecurity space, where I think we're still lacking is in teaching cybersecurity within the curriculums of regular software development and other sort of technology creation solutions. I think we should do better there. And I worry about a little bit of the stereotyping that we create around cybersecurity. You know, the dark kind of hooded hacker sort of sitting in a dark room, you know, with seven screens in front of them, which tends to be a very non-inclusive perspective. It tends to sort of chase away a lot of very, very valuable, you know, individuals that could be amazing for the cybersecurity world. Unfortunately, sort of they can't see themselves in it because they're not shared. And so what I would say is, you know, cybersecurity is really a problem-solving space, and it is an exciting space, and it is definitely a well-paid domain, you know, for a lot of people. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that we bring all of these kind of rich perspectives into the fold, and that we embed it into existing practices, which I see happening, but I think there's a long way to go.
Guy, we appreciate you coming on with us. Great story. So much is happening so quickly there. So I hope later this year or early next year, we'll have you back on with us.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks a lot for having me on and for everybody that tuned in to listen.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Guy Podjarny, founder, president, and chairman of the board at Sneak. Learn more at sneak.io. That's SNYK.io. Evolution Equity TV is sponsored by Evolution Equity Partners, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. Visit evolutionequity.com to learn more. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.